Last spring's lockdown got people baking bread, cleaning out closets, and in the case of our next guest, creating some very funny videos that starred his two dogs, Olive and Mabel. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. With us from Scotland is Andrew Cotter. He is often heard commenting on BBC Sports, ESPN, Eurosport, but he may now, maybe even more well known, as the creator of the Olive and Mabel videos. And he's recently released a book about the dogs, a wonderful book, and the adventures they've had together. You may be a fan of Olive and Mabel. Did they help you cope with staying home more? What questions do you have for Andrew about Olive and Mabel and about his book? It's called Olive, Mabel, and Me, by the way. Life and Adventures with Two Very Good Dogs. You can join in the conversation at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Andrew Cotter, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Lonnie, how are you?
I'm doing just great. And I, you know, we've got an audio from the first video.
Oh God!
And I, you know, this is just to sort of set the stage for this, and I want to play it, but set the stage for it. What are we going to hear?
If it's the first video, so this is the one where my two. I mean, what happened was that back in March 2020, March the 13th, Friday the 13th, pretty much all the sports events that I had lined up to commentate on were cancelled. And this was the Olympics, the Masters, Wimbledon, the Open Championship, Six Nations. You know, it was a busy year of sport and it all disappeared. And so much of it disappeared on that day. So I went out to commentate on my dogs having their breakfast instead. Olive and Mabel are two Labradors, so this was the end result.
All right, well let's listen to that. Have you got that up, Nigel?
Well, how fitting that it should come down to these two. Olive in her familiar black, five times the champion. Mabel, the rising star, winner last year. You can see how excited they are. But also feel the tension.
Get on with it.
And here it's in the crowd as we near the start of this final. And now they go, Olive away first. But a problem with Mabel's ball. That might cost her now, having to play catch-up. Both settling quickly into rhythm. You can see the contrast in styles. Mabel, heavy tail use. Happy to be alive. Everything's amazing. Olive, more steady. Wasting little energy. Very much of the old Labrador school. Eating's a serious business. Don't bollocks around wagging your tail. And Mabel seems just a little sluggish here. Perhaps more was taken out of her by the worm medicine she was given last night than we thought. But Olive, focused, relentless, tasting absolutely nothing. Mabel trying, but surely a lost cause. Her title defence coming to an end. Olive taking everything. Nothing left but the bowl to lick now. And Mabel, well, doesn't seem too upset. A bit of class there from the youngster, generous in what will surely be defeat, because Olive has won now. She's taken the title back at 7.5. Mabel looking to offer congratulations again to the dog who was her inspiration growing up. Once more, wonderful to see that spirit in the game. What a final we've had here. Great rivals, but great friends. Oh, and you see the swapping of bowls at the end. Join us again tomorrow. Live coverage of a snooze on the sofa, possibly. Bye for now.
Oh, my goodness. How many times have you watched that video?
Well, I haven't. I'll tell you what, Larry. I've heard it a few times. Trouble is, it's quite a visual thing because you've got the lap, you've got Olive and Mabel and their dear little faces, and they're just tucking into their breakfast. But so on radio, yeah, because I commentate on sports on mostly on television, but I came through radio and I still do quite a lot of radio. And when you're doing a commentary on radio, you do the commentary in a very different style, far more descriptive. I could have done with, if I had only known it was going to be going out on so many radio stations as well, I might have done it differently. But I've heard it quite a few times. It seems a lifetime ago now. And we're probably going to be going through it all again. Listen, I'm probably going to be commentating on cats or goldfish soon because we've just gone into another lockdown. So heaven help us.
Oh, yeah, heaven help us indeed. But, well, I think it takes a sports reporter with your skill to really bring that whole thing down, you know, and you're so good at generating suspense. Something you have to do as a sports broadcaster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, when you're a sports, announcer, you call it over there, it's, well, you're trying to match the action on the field, on the pitch, on the track, or wherever it might be. So, yes, you try and build the drama if there's drama. I mean, sport on its own provides drama, but what the sports broad commentator, the announcer, does is they sort of they accentuate that drama a little bit. They offer, they make it the icing on the frosting on the cake. They add just a little bit extra. So, yes, it's capturing the moment. I suppose that's what the first one, which was the breakfast eating one, then the second one was slightly more dramatic and slow. The bone, when they were fighting over a rubber bone, and that one's been seen by about 25 million people now, which it seems extraordinary to me because they can't all be my mother. I mean, a lot of them, I think, have been my mother, but it's kind of gone around the world.
Well, it has indeed. The first one I saw was the bone one, and I laughed so hard. My daughter had seen it and daughter Emily had seen it and shared it with me, and it is so funny, and they're all so funny. Did you expect, have any idea you were going to get anything approaching the kind of viewership you got?
No. And especially with the second one, because the first one went into the millions of views and everyone's saying, oh, this is a bit weird as you have this viral video, then obviously you don't expect a second one to do close to what it... I mean, the first one, I think, has now been seen by about 12, 13 million people. Well, if you add all the things together, more than that. So then you don't expect the second one to do that, but it doubled. I mean, it went even crazier. And it was the reach of it. As you say, that's the one that you saw. And that's the one that was really getting, celebrities in the United States were catching on to it and passing around. And it seems to have a long life as well, because it's the one that now is, it'll resurface. I'll get mentions and, a notification on Twitter with it. Such and such has found this video. It's always the people who think, I've just found this video, this amazing new thing. Then they realize that it was out in April and... they don't feel quite so current, but and then it moved on, and the third one had about 6 million views, where Mabel was just standing in a pond, and then it was the Zoom meeting one, which we've all done. We've all done Zoom online meetings over the past year, and so when I put them in that situation as well, a lot of people loved that, and then you just kind of keep on doing them, keep on making them.
Oh well, that video one is really, and that's quite a change in direction from the first.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, I wanted to do that as well because I am supposed to be, my day job, my normal job in normal days, whatever they are, I can't remember, is being a sports broadcaster. So I've got to go back and do the opening ceremony at the Olympics or a final at Wimbledon or whatever it might be. So you've got to try and maintain some sort of credibility. I'm clinging onto the shreds of credibility of my sports broadcasting career. So you can't then carry on just being the parody sports commentator. So then that's why I was delighted to take it into just making little sketches of putting Olive and Mabel in the human world. So that's why we did the Zoom meeting, or that's why we did online dating, or building flat pack furniture, or we did a Halloween one. I just keep on putting dogs into our silly human contrivances. These situations that we... If we stood back and looked at the things we do as humans, you'd find them silly. So put dogs into them, make them even more silly. It's sort of a Gary Larson thing, isn't it? It's animals animals having dinner, just sitting around the table or going to the washing machine, or whatever it might be. But yeah, that's it. I like making it into sketches rather than sports parodies.
What led to the book then?
A desperation for money, Larry, I think, essentially. No, it's because at that time, when the funny thing about when a video goes viral is that suddenly lots of people take note and get interested. And I was delighted that a publisher after that the fighting over the bone one came in and said, look, would you like to write a book? Because the way the book publishing industry works now is that people think, what is going to sell? Something popular, a name is going to sell. So it's almost like get attached to a name, and then if the book is good, then all the better. But it doesn't... you know, that's not necessarily what they're looking for. It's just selling books. I think they were delighted when they found out that the book, and I was delighted when I saw, you know, people saying nice things about the book, because I didn't want to be a social media guy who's got a book out and it's absolute mince, as we'd say in Scotland, not very good at all. It's just attached to the sort of phenomenon that has gone viral. So I wanted to write a good book about dogs, and all the feedback I've had and the way things have gone, you know, it's been very encouraging. I would hope that the book can stand alone. And the most encouraging reviews I've had have been the ones that say, look, I wasn't sure how I could like this in the same way that I like the videos. It's very different to videos, but God, I've laughed at this book as well. And so there we are. That's my pitch. That's my hard sell, which is very uncomfortable for a Scottish person. But, you know, people seem to be enjoying the book.
Well, it is a fabulous book. I really, really enjoyed it. Laura Lee in Arizona, let's turn to you. What's on your mind, Laura Lee?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi,
yeah,
there.
Have you ever tried using the Kong that has the little hole in it for the food?
Yes, we've got several of those.
Yes.
Yeah, but we don't. Yeah, no, we don't put food in them, though. That's the thing, because if they're, I know you're supposed to put like peanut butter in there or something, but if we did that, our Olive in particular would actually just destroy the Kong. Even, I know they say they're hard and rubber and they're indestructible. It's nonsense. Olive would destroy them. And so, and also she'd be driven mad trying to get the little residue of food out of it. So they have the Kongs, but they just carry them round as little greetings for us when we return home. When I come back to the door, it's usually one of them carrying a Kong and just saying, hey, it's great to see you again. Have this small, slightly chewed rubber toy as a token of my esteem.
Oh, Laura Lee, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Andrew Cotter is our guest today, commentator, a sports commentator for BBC, ESPN, Eurosport, maybe well more well known for his creation of the Olive and Mabel videos. And he's got a wonderful book, and he's going to stay with us right up till 12:30 today. And I want to dive into the book because it's not just about the videos, but about his life with Carol and his wife, and with especially with Olive and Mabel. The book's title, Olive, Mabel, and Me. Subtitle, Life and Adventures with Two Very Good Dogs. And we'll talk some more with him after we take a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. Well, social media has made stars of many, and today we're talking about two very good dogs. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Our guest is sports commentator Andrew Cotter. He's had some fun during this lockdown filming his dogs, Olive and Mabel, and he has a new book. Oh, it's a great book. In it, he talks about the dogs, the adventures they've taken together, and how dogs in general have affected his life. And you may be a dog lover. Maybe you're a lab lover. What do you like about them? What questions do you have for Andrew? Have you seen the videos? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Andrew, in your book, maybe you could talk about why you or what you wanted to have people leave with in your book.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the hard thing for me. When someone says, "Would you like to write a book?" You go, "Okay, it's about dogs." Well, but what is the theme of it? I mean, it's about dogs, but you know, what happens though is you find that you're writing about life, because dogs, if you own dogs and love dogs, they're with you throughout your whole life and all aspects of it. So it's about dog ownership. It's an escape into the world of dogs. And I think anybody who has owned a dog or owns a dog or is thinking about getting a dog will recognize lots of things within it. It's observations on being a dog person. But yes, you're right. It spins off into lots of our walks get quite adventurous in normal time. So we spend quite a lot of time up in the mountains. So there's a little bit of that as well. But it's really just about how I came to love dogs and how I came to get Olive and Mabel. And I'm not selling it very well. What I'm not very good at, Larry, is selling myself or selling the book. It's about dogs. Brilliant. Fantastic. Oh, I must get that book. People are saying it's about dogs and stuff. Yeah, I promise it's quite entertaining.
Yeah, it's very laugh out loud funny at times. Sometimes very, very touching as well. You grew up with dogs and your grandparents.
Some people as well. I mean, it wasn't just me and a pack of dogs. That's like some Mowgli figure raised by. I was raised by a pack of Shetland sheepdogs. Yeah, but you're right. You touched upon my grandmother, and they had a lot of dogs. So I think most of them had keeled over by the time I arrived in the world. But there were still about five or six just pottering around. So there've always been dogs, and you know, I think if you're a child and you are, you know, you're around dogs when you're very young, you become very comfortable with them, and you're not one of these children who's going to become an adult who's slightly fearful of dogs. So I would always say, you know, make children as comfortable with dogs from an early age, because there's no better bond than that between a person and a dog. Really, it's just, they're great companions to see you through life.
Yeah, I think your first dog was sort of your first dog, Sullivan. Was that right, or am I getting that wrong? Oh, are you there? I'm not hearing you.
All right, hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, technology is amazing. God, we love it. Sullivan's a mountain in Scotland that I love, and so my first dog as an adult was a bull mastiff called Sullivan. I mean, I had a dog called Humphrey, who's a Yorkshire Terrier, at the other end of the dog size scale when I was younger, but I just I fancied something more manly. Not that Humphrey wasn't manly, he believed he was, but Sullivan was just a beautiful big beast. But yes, possibly the most lazy dog you've ever met, but bull mastiffs have that reputation and deserve that reputation. But yeah, I loved Sullivan. Although, you know, I've loved all the dogs I've had. So it's very, you become so attached to them and you think, this is the dog I've loved most in my life. And then that one goes and you move on to another one. And you say, this dog is special. You know, every dog that enters your life is offers something special, because they kind of attach themselves to different phases in your life. So you kind of you attach to each dog a certain passage through your life. And Sullivan was my first dog sort of as I entered the adult world.
And you went to the BBC, but actually you met Carolyn at the BBC, I think, your wife.
You've promoted her to my wife there. I mean, she might as well be. We've been together for a long time, but don't give her ideas.
Well, you lived vicariously with dog fixes. You'd go back and forth. You were in London for 12 years, and then you moved to Northwest England, I think.
Yeah, that's where we are just now. So, I mean, I am Scottish through and through, but I've been living in England for a long time because of the work. And London is not the place to have a dog. You can't really, and especially when you're working, you know, long, long hours, then you can't have a dog. They just take too much. They demand too much of your time, and rightly so. So, yeah, we got our own dogs, Olive and Mabel. Well, Olive, first of all, when we moved out of London and just had a bit more time as well. So a bit more time, a bit more space, and then you can devote that time and space to dogs.
And you were looking for a dog with the serious exercise ability. You picked a Labrador. And one of the things I noted in your book, you said you don't, when you talked about labs, you said they don't fall in or out of fashion.
No, they're the constant popular dog, aren't they, Labradors? So it's a little bit dull maybe to get a Labrador, but they're just brilliant. They're fantastic dogs, and that's why they're so popular. Their temperaments are superb. If you get them from the right sort of, if you get them from the, you know, the right lines, then you're going to have you know, fewer health problems, touch wood, than you would with perhaps some other breeds. And also, Olive and Mabel are both slim Labradors from working lines, so you are able to go running with them or go up in the mountains with them. You know, Labradors now that are bred for show are slightly rounder, sturdier, bigger. They might struggle a little bit with all the mountains and all the running. But Olive and Mabel are whippet-like end of the Labrador scale.
You know, you're kind of getting at it when you talked about the getting Olive. You talked about the process of buying a dog, and you were looking for certain kinds of traits, and labs have certain traits that you kind of have to watch for a little bit.
Well, yeah, but because they will eat the entire universe if they're given the chance. Their greed is perhaps their overwhelming character trait. But I think you do have to look out for their elbows and their hips a little bit, Labradors. They have a tendency to that. So you look for ones with a good elbow and hip score. And if the you just go by what their parents had. But again, when I talk about getting dogs and going to a breeder and getting it's interesting because I don't know what it's been like in the United States, but over here, throughout the past year, so many people have thought, right, I'm getting a dog. I need the company. I can't handle lockdown. I can't handle all this. And that's why dogs are therapy. And that's their great strength. But it's dangerous because people are just getting dogs who are perhaps ill-prepared for it. But also, the price of dogs over here is just rocketing up. And what you might have is that in a couple of months' time, when people realize that they can't cope with the dog, these dogs are offloaded into shelters. People are buying dogs from disreputable people who are just in it to make fast buck. But also, there are so many dogs in shelters, rescue dogs, that would need a good home. Now, I'm determined that our next dog is going to be a rescue dog because I know there are just so many dogs that have so much love to give, and they might just have been abandoned for all the reasons that I've outlined. And I think it's so important that we go to dog shelters and see if we can do something for them.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Well, you picked Olive, of course, was your first the first before Mabel, and. You talk about educating Olive, training whistles and that sort of thing. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we're just lazy people, basically, and didn't train. I'm talking about people who are getting dogs and are ill prepared for the work you have to put in. And then I confess myself that I haven't done all the work that I should have done with our dogs. Labradors are reasonably bright, sort of mid-table. They're not border collie intelligence, but they're not down at the red setter end of the scale. Sorry, poor old red setters and red setter owners are switching off around Wisconsin. But anyway, they're sort of mid-table in intelligence, but they are very willing to learn, Labradors. They love to please. But the thing is, you've still got to work at it. Now, we initially worked with Olive, and so she does some stuff. But as she's got older, she's realized in her small mid-table brain that she says, I don't have to do that, because all I'll do is I'll put my ears back, I'll turn up the eyes to full size, and they'll melt. So they won't stay angry for long. So, and then what we did with Mabel is we did even less training. So she takes her training, her education from Olive. So, she's learning bad habits, and they've both learned that they just have it. We're twisted around their paws. They just look at us and say, can we come up on the sofa? And I said, no, I'm being firm about it. 5 minutes later, come on then, come on up on the sofa. Why not? Life's too short.
Andrew Cotter, our guest today, I'm having a lot of fun talking with him about his book, Olive, Mabel, and Me, Life and Adventures with Two Very Good Dogs. It's so much fun to talk about it. And Mabel, by the way, you purchased, took ownership of Mabel 4 years after Olive. Why then?
Well, I think you sort of space them out. It's terrible. And it is the sadness. You mentioned it yourself. There's a bit of sadness in the book, and not in that, when you're a dog owner and a lover of dogs, you also realize there's this shadow all the time that you realize that they are probably going to go, most likely going to go before we do. And it's their lives are far too short, and they're with us for far too short a time. So, when one goes, you cannot be left without any dog. So you have to think of a succession plan. But also because dogs, like dog company. You know, they are pack animals.
Yeah.
And Olive and Mabel get on famously. Sometimes Olive looks at Mabel as if she's a bit of a moron, which she is. So that's an accurate assessment from Olive. But they love each other dearly, and they wouldn't be without each other. I think Mabel needs Olive slightly more than the other way around. But you know, yeah, I think two dogs together is a wonderful thing. But there will come a point then that we'll probably end up getting a third. I think that's the limit, though. When you get more than three dogs, you're sort of becoming a farm. You're not a household anymore. It's just passed the point of no return.
Here you've got two labs, but you talk about how different they are.
Yeah, they are different. Yeah,
different.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Olive is slightly more calm and measured than Mabel, and a little bit more distant. But that's all relative. Distant in Labrador terms means that she's just not licking you 23 hours of the day. It means that she does like affection, but she'll occasionally take herself on and say, you know what, I've had enough of this, everyone just leave me alone. Whereas Mabel would never say that, because she never wants to be left alone. She wants to be very much at the heart of the party and just clambering all over you, and it sort of squeaks and growls impatiently if she's not getting all that affection. So she is a very needy, very clingy dog, Mabel. But you know what, I quite enjoy that. So I wouldn't want a dog who dismisses you. I always look at beagles. Quite often I look at beagles and think, they look quite distant. They look as if they're just looking at you and feeling a little bit superior to you. I love the look of them, but I think sometimes beagles might be saying, you know what, you human are beneath me, and I don't want you to touch my ears. No, don't stroke me, don't do anything. Just occasionally take me for a walk and let me go, and then I'll be gone over the fields and far away. That's what I want from you. Oh, and food.
Olive has barks for different things. Olive's pretty smart that way. She has barks for different things that she wants.
Yeah, and Mabel never barks. Well, she will occasionally if she gets spooked. She has barked about twice in her life, and I think on both times really surprised herself at the sounds she was making. So, but Olive does bark. Yeah, she barks. She's got a happy bark. She's got her. I describe it in quite earthy tones, the bark that she reserves for people who are passing her gate. So, but she's got quite a full vocabulary, Olive.
Oh, and here's another thing about dog ownership, and you talk about it, which is the state of your belongings is quite different than
good. I mean, the state of belongings, don't have nice things if you own Labradors, because they will either get chewed as puppies, or then they'll just get covered in fur. And when you've got a black Labrador and a yellow Labrador, then, you know, what are you going to do? Because when we only had Olive, then you could wear dark items of clothing and the fur wouldn't show up. But now it's just, oh, Mabel says, don't worry, I've got this. I can cover that in fur for you. And also they do shed quite a bit of fur as well. So our furniture, our sofas are, I think they're, you know, 60-70% dog now. I mean, they're certainly increased in size, the sofas. You go, how have they grown? Well, they've grown because they have a sort of layer of 2 or 3 inches of Labrador fur on them. So again, it's not painting a pretty picture of our house, but any dog owner will know that it's difficult to maintain that perfect show home standard if you want to own dogs.
You brush, there at one point you say you brush Mabel as if there's no dog underneath.
Yes. Honestly, I mean, when it comes to sort of September time in particular, you just keep on brushing. It's like the painting of the fourth bridge, we say, a never-ending task. And it's just, you keep on brushing and you never get to the point where no fur is coming off. So what do you... If I brushed for 24 hours, then would I just reduce her to, as I say in the book, just paws, a nose and blinking eyes, and there's nothing left of her? Well, I think you could brush through her head and there would be nothing but fur. But yeah, so it's quite something.
It was fun to have you talk about how Olive can trick Mabel out of her bed.
Yeah,
Mabel's
it's not the sharpest tack. No, she's not the sharpest tack. So Olive will just come up. If she wants to be in the bed that Mabel's in, she'll come up and she'll stand and look at her, and then she'll wander to the front door and start and bark or whine. And Mabel will go, oh my God, there's something's going on. So she'll get out of the bed and scamper to the front door, and Olive will casually turn around and just walk into the bed and settle down. So I've seen other dogs do that as well. So it's, and poor Mabel just looks and says, I know I've lost out in my bed here, but what about this person that's at the door? I don't know what we're going to do about this. So, yeah, she is an idiot, a lovely idiot.
Well, you love to climb.
Oh, I do.
And that's a big part. Well, there are some chapters in the book where you're talking about walking these mountains which are not mountains like our Rocky Mountains here, but they're still plenty demanding. And the dogs they with you.
Yeah, but Wisconsin. I've been to Wisconsin a couple of times. Wisconsin doesn't have mountains, really, does it? It's a lot of water, a lot of lakes, but it's not really it's not hilly. So where do you go for your hill fixes in Wisconsin? You have to go to where do you head west? I don't know what.
Yeah, there are some ski hills
for him there. We get so much snow, yeah, any hill is going to be fine for skiing. It doesn't have to be that high, but they're not rocky-esque in Scotland, but they are quite dramatic because they come straight up out of the sea almost if you're in the west. So I love it. I really miss it at the moment, and this will be a sort of feeling that lots of people will be having around the world, but in the UK at the moment we have just been fully locked down, so you can't go anywhere. So you can't go, they're having a wonderful winter season in terms of snow in Scotland. And I would be up in the mountains all the time at the moment, just getting away from it all with Olive and Mabel beside me, walking through the snow and up the mountains. And at the moment, you're not allowed to travel too far from your own house. So it's difficult. I think, what I try and get across in the book is that getting into the mountains or the hills has always been an escape for me, an escape from the world. And, you kind of need that escape more than ever at the moment, but you can't have it. So that's why, reading the book is just, that's about as close as I can get to escaping into the mountains. The memories I have of, and looking at the videos, my phone's full of about 12,000 videos of me climbing in the mountains with a dog. So I just glance at those with a tear rolling down my cheek. But I know we'll be back out there again.
Oh, let's hope it's sooner than later. Near the end, you talk about what dogs mean to us, why we love them so much, and how we can move on to another dog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, what they mean to us is that throughout this whole thing, I've made little videos where I'm talking to Olive and Mabel, and you talk to them normally. You talk to them as humans talk to each other. And the thing is, that's what people do with their dogs. They talk to them. When they're pottering around the house, they might be on their own and their dog is their other being in the house, their other creature in the house, and you're talking to them and you're saying, right, when are you going to have your dinner? Right, we'll have your dinner later on, then we'll go for a walk. And the dog's sort of cocking his head and going, I have no idea what you're talking about, to be honest. But it's what it is they're a sort of living, breathing presence in the house, and that's why they're such an important thing. And this year, or this last year, 2020, and as we go on into 2021, I think that loneliness is one of the key results of this horrible pandemic, is that, you can't make contact with people and you can't go to bars and restaurants and, festivals and concerts and things like that. So people are feeling lonely and they feel, real sort of mental test. So if you've got a dog, you lean on them quite heavily. Not physically, you'll squash a terrier that way. But, you lean on them as your sort of therapy in the house. You just need to have somebody there something there to talk to. And that's why dogs are so, so important. They might not understand everything you're saying, but, you can just chat away to them or stroke their ears and suddenly everything's all right with the world.
Are you going to do some more videos with
I will do videos as soon as I can think of an idea. I mean, I did a New Year one, and that one really went well. Usually I would put them up on YouTube as well, but I decided not to because I think I had monopoly in that, and I'm not sure you're allowed to with brands. Anyway, but suddenly that's got about 1.2 million views, and you think, oh, there is still an appetite for it. You've got to think of a good idea, though. I'd hate to put out a video that, it's somebody went, that's all right. But, so far they've all been quite, they've all been quite popular, and I've been quite pleased with them, more to the point. If I come up with a good idea, or Olive and Mabel come up with a good idea, which is less often, then, we'll do it. We'll put it out there, because I think I will do it because people keep saying, could I have another video, please? Could I have, because I've enjoyed them. I've really enjoyed them this past year. So as long as people want them, I'll keep making them.
Andrew, thank you so much for being with us. You've written a wonderful book and you have wonderful videos. Thank you, and I hope we have a chance to talk again.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry. Cheers.
Andrew Cotter, his book is Olive, Mabel, and Me, Life Adventures with Two Very Good Dogs. It's a wonderful book, and I highly recommend it to you, whether you're a dog owner or not. Well, been a lot of fun today. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.